All right, let's pray. Father God, I love you, Lord. Thank you for today, Lord. I thank you for just the Passpoint class and, Lord, just your word, Lord, and just the fact that you allow us to just gather around your word as a class, Lord. So I do pray that you would just use us this year, Lord. Lord, just set aside things for us to do, Lord. Just call us out from where we're at. For your purpose, Lord. And I do pray that you would just speak to us today, Lord, through your word. And I pray that you would just stir us up to be more like you. Lord, I pray you just speak to us in Christ's name. Amen. All right, so before I get into this, I do want to talk a little bit. So I kind of asked you guys if everybody got to read through the Bible thing. So it's only three chapters a day for the most part, right? Every now and then it changes. It'll never be more than four. It'll never be probably, well, I shouldn't say that. Some long chapters we may just do, you know, we'll just see. But the key is consistency, right? Three chapters a day is really easy to do when you stay on top of it. You get behind a few days, and all of a sudden it's like, crap, I got like nine chapters to read today. Well, I can't do that. And then you just give up. And so my goal is to just be consistent, right? And so the plan for the year for Passpoint as a whole is I've got a short little series I want to do at the beginning, and we'll talk about that here in a few minutes. But after that, I want to just basically pick something from what we read that week, right? And that's what I'm going to teach on. So if you get behind or if you get lost or if you're like, then pick back up where we're at, right? And that's my whole goal in this is not to, I would love it if you guys could get through the Bible in a year, right? But the goal is to be in the Word daily, right? That's what we want to be, is we want to be in the Word. We're not going to be more like Christ if we're not in the Word of God. That's just the reality of what it is, right? So if you get bogged down, if something in life comes up, right, because that happens, pick back up where we're at. You know, that's why we're doing it the way we're doing it, instead of just saying, hey, just read this many chapters. This is where we're at. If you want to go back and try to catch up, that's great, but pick up where we're at. And just that way we're in, if I'm teaching something from it week in and week out, it kind of keeps us engaged. And at the same time, if you have questions, you know, what did we read this week? If you got any questions? Like at the beginning of class every week, I'm probably going to be like, did anything come up where you're just like, I got a question. That didn't make any sense, right? Pam asked me a question this morning. It's like, that's good. It tells me that you're reading what we're reading, right? And so we'll have some time where you can, you know, just ask, because guess what? If you have the question, somebody else probably does too. That's generally the way it works. What?
Abby got a question yesterday.
Oh, well, I didn't hear it, so. Good job. I meant you probably answered it, so that's why I said good job. So anyway, but I am excited just because it keeps us as a class moving together. There's times when it seems like there's only, and I don't mean this in a bad way, but there's a few of us that are pushing really hard, and the rest of us are just like, well, I'm here, right? You know, got the old Indian head bob going on. I want to just be able to keep pressing forward together, and it allows us to study together. So that's kind of my reasoning for it. It's not because I want to do anything special. I just want to be in the Word of God, and I want to have purpose to be in the Word of God. So that's where we're at. So with that being said, that's not what I'm going to teach on today or the next couple weeks. So the next few weeks, I don't know how long it'll take. I kind of thought I was going to get through 2 points today, and it's not. I'm only going to get through one. But I want to talk about just Passpoint. What does Passpoint mean? Why do we call the class Passpoint? And what are the goals behind what Passpoint even is, right? We're all in this class. And you like to listen to me babble or something. I don't know. It's because I haven't ran you off yet is really why you're here. But what is the purpose behind it? Why is it called Passpoint? What are the, you know, if somebody asks you, because the challenge that I've got for you guys is to go out, and if this, I'm going to say this disclaimer right at the beginning, this has nothing to do with me wanting to build the numbers of the class. I don't care if three of you guys are here or 40. I love to read the Bible, and it doesn't matter if it's to, you know, that's just, I'm doing what God told me to do. But my challenge to you guys is to go out and invite people to class. Because at the end of the day, whether they come to this class or Randy's class or any of the other classes, if you're not in the Bible Hour, you're really missing out, right? You're really missing out on what God is using the church for, right? When Holly and Brady, Brady was just involved in it, right? When you guys had the baby, right? if it wouldn't have been for Passpoint, okay, had a baby, oh, that's great, right? But when you have a Bible Hour class, they come alongside of you and they help you out, right? And it's not because you need help, but it's because we love on you and we're like, hey, we know what it's like to have a baby screaming all the time, right? Even though I know Cleo's perfect, right? So, but you know, we know what that's like. So, you know, what do? We came to provide some meals, right? Or when something else happens and, you know, maybe something bad happens, we come alongside, and that's what the body is supposed to do. But when you get a church the size of Heartland, it's hard to just do that. So when you're a part of a fellowship, it's more of a family, right? And so my goal is to get you guys out there to actually talk to people you don't know. I know. Crazy thought, right? Be like, hey, are you in a Bible Hour? Well, this is why you should be, right? This is why you should be. This is why I like my class. You know, it's not because of Jason, but it's because of all the other people or whatever it is. I don't know. But just to get people engaged, because, man, if you're not in a Bible Hour, you're missing out. And it has nothing to do with me or Paige, I promise. It's just because this is where it's at. This is like the cool thing in churches right now is they call them small groups, right? Well, this is my small group. You can call this a small group if you want to, right? That's what it is. We are able to minister together. Brian calls them ministry groups, right? Because he's against the term small group. Okay, I don't care. He calls them ministry groups. We minister together. We do things together, right? We serve God together. That's what we're doing. So with all that being said, I'm just going to, I titled it, Why Do We Do What We Do, right? Because a lot of times, it's because we're supposed to, right? Well, why do you come to church every week? Well, because I love Christ, and, well, that's what we're supposed to do, right? You know, it says, forsake not the assembling ourselves together, right? So this is when we assemble ourselves together, is on Sunday mornings. But when you get down to the core of it, why do we do what we do? Why do we, in Passpoint, do what we do? Why are we intentional to teach the word? Why are we intentional to serve Christ, be in the ministry, do all these things? And that's kind of, most of you, some of you guys may know this. Some of you, I've probably taught this before. But if you're newer to class, you would know that I'm not the originator of the Passpoint class, right? I picked it up from a guy, Roger Heath, who has since went on to be involved in some other church planning things and some other things going on, right? So I just basically picked it up. I took his vision, and we're running with it. So some of you guys remember Roger, and you remember the way that he went about it. But some of you guys are new, and you're like, well, I just like the class. Well, I want to like circle back around and get back to the heart of why we do what we do. Why we're called Passpoint, and so that's kind of what I want to do for the next couple weeks. It may take 1 week. Well, I know it's not going to take. It's going to take more. It may take 2 weeks. It may take up to 4 weeks. It will not take more than 4 weeks, I promise. So, Passpoint. So I'm going to ask questions today, right? And they're not just rhetorical like normal because I'm moving on. So, what does the name Passpoint mean? Somebody tell me, right? Some of these are easy questions, right? So, what's the name Passpoint mean? I can't answer. Until nobody else answers, then you, what's the name Passpoint? Does anybody know? Somebody's got to know. What's Passpoint mean? Yes. Right. The name Passpoint. You got to be quicker on the draw, dude. Right. The name Passpoint. The thinking behind it, the logic behind it, is to get to the point where we are past the point of no return for Christ. Right. Well, what does that mean? What does that mean? Right. What does it mean to be past the point of no return for Christ, right? Is it just a clever saying? Well, let me ask you this. Where does it come from in the Bible? Because everything that we do, I promise, it may not seem like it sometimes, everything that we do is based somewhere out of this book. So where can you find that biblically? Where, like, somebody asks you, hey, what Bible Hour are you in? I'm interested. Well, I'm in the Passpoint class. What does that mean? Well, it means we're past the point of no return for Christ. Okay. Where's that in the Bible, right? Where's it at? Somebody, where's it based out of? Do you know?
The New Testament.
Okay, we're narrowing it down. The New Testament. Okay. Right. Flip over in your Bibles to John chapter 6. John chapter 6. I really think this is going to be good once we get past just me rambling, because I want you guys to know why we do the things that we do, why we hold to the things, why we're called what we're called, and why. So, hey, what are you about? I'm really pushing. I go to these meetings on Sunday nights. I love these meetings, right? I got this new attitude. It's New Year, new attitude. I love these meetings, right? And so I'm really trying to push this. The body is missing out if they're not involved in a fellowship. I don't care if they're involved in our fellowship, but they're really missing out. If you come here, what do we got? You know, some mornings we have 10 people, some mornings we have 30 people in Passpoint, right? So all the other classes are somewhat the same, right? None of them are just... So then you go into the main service, there's a lot more than that many people, right? So there's people that are missing out on what we know is good about the fellowship, right? It has nothing to do with the teaching per se, it's about the fellowship, right? And these people are missing out, right? They're missing out on, you know, if somebody's moving, what are we going to do? Well, we're going to go help them move. It's just part of it. If somebody's got something going on in life, we're going to come help them do it. We're going to live life with them. That's just part of it. You know, and so they're missing out, and I'm really trying to push, why aren't more people involved? I don't care if they're involved with us. Why aren't more people involved? So if I'm going to push this, which I'm going to push this, right, I'm going to try to get the other pastors really involved, which I'm not saying that they're not involved, but then there's going to be people that are going to start asking questions. Well, what about Passpoint? What is it? So I want you guys to be able to give an answer, right? I want you guys to know why we do what we do. Well, it's called Passpoint because that's what Jason calls it, right? I don't even call it that, right? I just picked it up from the guy before me. John chapter 6, starting in verse 66. This is where the name Passpoint, and I'll preface this from the beginning. I didn't come up with any of this, but I did take the vision from Roger, and I'm running with it, right? John chapter 6, in verse 66. It says, and from that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him, right? So basically, Jesus basically had just told his disciples, not just the 12, but the large group that was following him, basically, if you want to follow me, you got to give up your life, right? You got to be able to give it all up, right? The ministry of Christ is everything, right? It's not just part of your life, it is your life. In lack of a better term, that's what he just said. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. Verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, will ye also go away? Right? Because that's the common thing to do, right? Everybody's on the church bus right now, and then, you know, it gets hard, and everybody jumps off. Are you going to jump off too? Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, I love it that he calls him Lord, right? Because at this point, they're not very far into the ministry, and he's already calling, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? We are completely bought in. We are sold out. This is all we know. Where else are we going to go? Verse 69, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. So here is here's just a breakdown of why we're called Passpoint. Because we believe, and not only do we believe, but we're sure. We're sure enough that we can go to the Bible and we can show somebody. Right, we're sure enough that we believe that I can stand on it. Somebody can question my faith and I can stand on it, right? It's called Passpoint because we were this way at one point in our lives, and maybe you've got a testimony where you grew up in church and right, you got saved because that's what you were supposed to do, right? And it is what it is. Or maybe you got a testimony like mine where I lived a life that was completely anti-Christ, against Christ, right? For so long, and then Christ came and he saved my soul, and I'm living a completely different life now because God saved me, and why wouldn't I? And so I'm at a point now, and I'm not trying to use myself as an example, but I mean, I'm at a point now where the things of the world, you know, they were okay at times, but there was always a drop, there was always a letdown, there was always something. So I am past the point where I wouldn't even know what to do going back. Why would I even go back? You know, after you get saved for the first year or two or three or however long, right? There's this, you know, this Christianity thing, this salvation thing. It's all great, but you know, there's always the opportunity to go back. I'm at a point now where how could you go back? I wouldn't even know what that. I've seen what Christ can do in my life. I've seen what Christ can do in other people's lives. How is that even an option, right? That's what Passpoint means. I am past the point of no return, right? Going back to that isn't even an option, right? You know, once you get saved for the first however long, that's an option, right? You see people get saved and then fall back to the world. It doesn't mean they lost their salvation, by the way. we'll get into that in a couple weeks. But it's not even an option anymore. So now the only option is, I'm past that point. The only option is, all right, how can I serve Christ? In what capacity can I serve? I can either be a pew warmer, right? Or a chair warmer at Heartland, right? Because we don't have pews, right? I can either be a chair warmer, you know, a warm body, you know, just checking and punching the time clock. I was here, right? Go back, look at the attendance. You know, look at the Shelby thing, right? Because that's what we use, right? Look at Shelby. I was there. I was there every week. Okay, you can either be that person, or you can be like, God, what do you want me to use? What do you want me to do now? Okay, you want me to serve here. I'm going to do it. And I'm going to do that, and I'm going to do it hard, and I'm going to do it well until you tell me to do something else. Right? I'm past the point of going back. So now it's just like, what capacity do you want to use me? Do I want to just be a warm body? Or do you want to go all out? Right? That's what past point means. We're past the point of well, do I want to go back? That's not even an option anymore. Right? That's not... Now the only option is, how much do I want to be used? Right? And then that's where I come in as the so-called teacher, right? Is to encourage you to not just be a warm body, but to encourage you to be as much as you can be for Christ. Right? And that's where I come in. So that's what past point means. So, blank screen again. When you come to the point in your life when you realize that everything and anything that you have that you have done or that you will have is only because of Christ, then that's when you're getting to that past point thing, right? When you realize that anything that you have had, have done, or will do is just because of Christ, you're starting to get there, right? You're starting to get there. That's the point. So we want to be past the point of no return. Why? Why do we want to do it? I mean, just really, why? That's what we're called past point. That's what we want to do, right? Why? Jesus?
You want to say
the
answer?
Yeah, I do. I'm asking you. Well, why?
Enough of this rhetorical
question. No, I told you earlier. There are no rhetorical questions.
Lies. That's a lie.
Why?
So we can serve God wholeheartedly. Because if you don't get past that point, you're always going to have that lie. Oh, I can fall back on that. This doesn't work out. You get past the point, though. You can't think that.
But why do we want to do it? I mean, and that's...
Serve God. It's our purpose.
The least we can do.
But why do you want to serve God?
Because he saved me for a reason. So might as well follow what he's got.
Because the word tells you to, right? Those are all right answers. But at the end of the day, because we're told to, from the word, we're told to serve God with everything that we've got. Romans 12:1-2. That isn't Roger. I mean, that may have been his heart, but that's definitely my heart. Romans 12:1-2. That's where it's at. Because we're told to. Right? Why do I want my kids to obey? At the end of the day, because I told them to. Right? I want the things done that I told them to do, but at the end of the day, because I want them to do what I told them to do. Do you think God's any different? He saved us to glorify him, and he gives us tasks and purposes because he wants us to do what he told us to do. That's when you break it down and you really simplify it, he simply just wants you to do what he told you to do. Right? And maybe that means just sit. Oh, okay. Right? That would be like the worst thing God could tell me to do. Just sit here for a minute. I'm like, oh my gosh. Right? I've always got to be going and doing. Biblically, we've got to be past the point of no return because we're commanded to. Right? So, okay, here. Where are we commanded to? So you go to the past point class, right? What does that mean? Well, it means we're past the point of no return, right? Okay, that sounds really good, right? That's a really good catchphrase. What does that mean, right? Well, what's the purpose of it? You should come to class and ask Jason, right? Oh, okay, that's fine. That'll work. But I want you to be able to... But what does it say? I don't know the verse, but I don't know the reference, but it says that you need to be able to give an answer to the hope that lies within you, right? What's the reference on that? I know you know it. Right? I think it isn't Peter, right? But yeah, that you can give an answer for the reason that... So you've got hope that lies within you. It's obvious. It like boils out of you, right? Why? Why? Well, I... Because I do, right? All right, well, here's where we base passpoint. Flip over to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Did you know, you've been coming to passpoint for how long, right? Well, some of you are like a lot of years, and some of you are like not very long. It's going to be less if you keep asking me questions, right? 2 Timothy, chapter 4. You've been coming to passpoint for how long? Did you know, and this is going to look really bad on me because I should have done a better job of it. Did you know that passpoint, the class itself is based on four goals? Like, there's four goals for the passpoint class, right? Can anybody tell me any of the four? Or all four?
To get past the point of no return.
That's not one of the goals. Doing these things will get you there, right? That's a good answer, though. I like that. That's like a, yeah. That's my kind of answer. Can you tell me any of the four goals? All right, I'll tell you. I'm going to tell you one of them today, right? That's all we're going to get to today. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verse... Wait a minute. Hang on. I think I've got something wrong. Hang on. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 4. Oh, that's way better. 1 Timothy chapter 4. I'm like, something's not right. This is not what I got ready with all morning. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12 to 16. This is what we base passpoint on. This right here. It's biblical. So why do you guys do the things that you do? Well, because we want to serve God, right? We want to do all these things. Okay, but we've got something biblical. This is where we stake our roots at, right? Right here. I'm going to read it. 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 12 says, "Let no man despise thy youth," right? Because we're young at heart. I'm not as young as I used to be, no. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, to doctrine. Neglect not the gift that is in thee." Like, oh my gosh. "Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given thee by prophecy, with the laying on of hands of the presbytery." Now, we're not all, you know, don't get me wrong. We're not all like, you know, laying hands and healing. Okay. We'll get there. Verse 15. "Meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly unto them, that the profiting may appear to all. Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee," right? If you do these things, you're not only going to save thyself, be on the path to Christ, but it says, and to them that hear thee, because you're going to be out telling people, right? Because that's what we're commanded to do. Here's the first goal. This is probably all we're going to get to today, right? The first goal of passpoint, to be an example of the believer. You want to be past the point of no return for Christ? That sounds great, right? We want to be an example to the believer. That's the first goal. That's what we're here to do. 2 Timothy, it's not 2 Timothy, it's 1 Timothy. I've got it written in here over and over again. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 12. "Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity." So what does that mean? I'm going to break it down here just a little bit, and that's probably all we're going to get to today, right? We are to be an example of the believer. In word first. What does that mean? To be an example of the believer in word. If you look up the, now I'm not much on the Greek and the Hebrew, and I'm not, right? But I do look up sometimes to see what exactly these things mean. In word, it means something said, obviously. This one's pretty simple. You may not get the other ones. Something that's said, right? But it also means including the thought behind what is said. Or the motive behind what was said. Oh, now I'm getting all up in your feelers, right? Because, you know, nobody likes that. Am I being an example in the things that I say? The things that I think? Or the motives in my life, right? Right? This is the goal of what we're doing in passpoint. To be an example to the believer in word. in the things that I say, the things that I think, and the motive. Only you, right? Because I could be like, yeah, so where are you at on this? And you'd be like, well, I'm doing really good, right? Because I talk about Jesus all the time. I can't judge what you think or what your motives are. I can't. Only you can do that. Only you can judge the thoughts and motives. But the word part, it's a little easier to measure. Ask yourself this question. In the past week, how many times were the words that came out of my mouth speaking the things of Christ? Directly or indirectly, right? How many times were the things of Christ coming out of my mouth, right? And I don't mean I smashed my finger and I said, God something, right? God bless it. No, I'm... I'm asking myself these. In the past week, how many times did the things of Christ come out of my mouth? Directly or indirectly? Right? I'm just giving you things to measure yourself by. I'm not trying to get all up in your feelers. You can get up in your own feelers. I don't... It is what it is, right? Obviously, the way that we live can point to Jesus, right? But the most prolific... The easiest way that we have to proclaim Christ is to simply open our mouth. We don't seem to have a problem to do it with anything else, right? Ask me about football or baseball. I'll tell you all about it, right? So why can't I stop that? That was a rhetorical question or statement. Why can't we talk about Christ? Why can't we talk about what Christ is doing in our life, right? Or what's going on? Instead, why can't we? Well, I'm going to let my testimony do that. Okay, that's a great idea, but say something too. If you were like a really quiet person that never said anything about anything, then I might let you be like, okay, well, you don't really say anything about anything else, so I guess you let your testimony. You don't have any lack of words about anything else. I'm talking to myself, right? You can put yourself in here. You don't have any lack of words about anything else, so why is there an issue here, right? Well, I'm going to let my testimony... Okay, that's a good idea. Let your words do it as well, right? We're supposed to be an example to the believer in word. Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him who they have not believed? And how then shall they believe on him they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Well, I'm not a preacher. If you're talking about Christ, you are. You're proclaiming the word of God. We have to be willing to walk through the doors that Christ opens for us. And when we walk through them, we got to be willing to say something, right? You know, it amazes me, you know, and this is to my shame, that I pray to God for open doors. Give me open doors to share the gospel, to do this, right? And then God opens a door, and somebody just blatantly asks me a question, and I'm like, I can't form the words. It's like, what are you asking me? Why can't I do this, guys? And you're like, okay, good. Well, if he does it, then I want you to be better than me, right? Have the words. Be able to give a reason for the hope that lies within you. Romans 1, 16 and 17. You should know this. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, right? I'm not ashamed, right? For it's the power of God and salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith, right? Yes. Got a sticker on my truck, right?
Shut up, Jason.
I'm not talking to you.
Whatever, you are too.
You don't even have one, do you?
Yeah.
Oh.
I got two, bro.
Oh, all right. Well, there you go.
The back, right?
Oh.
Yeah, it's huge. It's like the okay. size of me.
Okay.
On my freaking glass window.
All right, well, okay. Then I'm talking to you. I wasn't purposely, but...
We got beef, bro, now.
We claim to not be ashamed, yet we don't speak Christ outside of the walls of the church. There's something wrong. There's something wrong, right? Are you being an example of the believer in word, right? And that's just like the first thing. We'd be like, okay, well, there's like, for me, that's like, okay, I've got a lot of work to do right there. That's like the first little part of the first goal. The second part, to be an example of the believer in conversation. What does that mean? We just talked about talking. What does that mean? What's the word conversation mean? Right? If you look in the... It means your behavior, right? Your lifestyle, your words and actions, right? So am I being an example in the behavior of my life? Well, I think, right? I think so. We can all put on a good act. I mean, come on. The reason I can talk to you guys like this is because I know you. And I know you because I am you, right? I know what it's like. I do. We all get to choose the kind of behavior that we have in our lives, but more importantly, what's your motive for that behavior, right? I can act like I'm supposed to act. I can say the things that I'm supposed to say. I can do all that, right? But why? Jesus, right? I could teach this to little lambs. They're going to tell me the same thing, right? Jesus, right? Why? Compare this to, and if you've got kids, you'll get this, and if you don't have kids, you will get this someday. Compare this to your kids' behavior, right? I want my kids to act good or godly, right? Let's say godly. I want my kids to act godly. But I want them to do it because they want to, not because I told them to, right? And it has to start with because I told them to. And at some point, their heart has to change because they want to, right? God's the same way. God wants you to act godly. He wants you to live a good conversation, a good behavior, not because you're told to, but because you want to, right? And maybe it has to start with, I'm doing it because I'm told to. I don't really want to. I'm doing it because I'm told to. And at some point, just like we do with our kids, God's like, at some point it's going to catch. And it's going to be because you want to, right? We're supposed to be an example of the believer in conversation. Just like before when we're to be Just like before when we're to be speaking Christ to the world, our lifestyle should be speaking the same thing, right? It should be speaking the same thing. What good does it do us for us to speak one thing and live another, right? That's American Christianity. America, right? That's how it is, right? It is. I'm a Christian. I do. Really? What's your lifestyle show? What's your conversation show? And I'm not talking about what you're saying. Philippians 1:27, it says, only let your conversation, once again, not talking about your words, be as it becometh the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that you stand fast in one spirit with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel. Is your conversation speaking the gospel? Your behavior or your lifestyle should be striving together, not against, striving together with other believers to get the work of Christ done while there's still time. And instead, we're worried about they painted the walls the wrong color, right? And he said that about that person. And we're so worried about our feelings and they offended me and this, that. Who cares? Who cares? What did God tell you to do? Get to work. Oh, okay. Well, I can't do it by myself. Oh, because you're supposed to be using that guy over there that you're so worried about offended you or hurt your feelings or you don't like the way that they dress. Get them to come alongside of you and help you. Because that's what you're supposed to be doing in the first place. We can only talk about it for so long before we actually have to step out and actually get involved, right? And get going on the work of Christ, right? I could talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk and talk until I'm blue in the face about we need to get involved. We need to be doing what Christ is telling us to do, right? You got to tell people about Christ. You got to do it. You got to be in the ministry. We got to do. I can tell you all the day long until Romans 12:1 or 2 like really takes effect in your life. All I'm going to do is talk. It says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God. And that's going to take a whole lot of work. No. Wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Right? Presenting your entire life, all your time, all your talents, all your treasure, all your money, all your everything to God. Oh my gosh, that's a lot. That is the absolute least you can do for Him. And you might be like, what? I'm just telling you what it says. Presenting your entire life to Christ for His service is your reasonable service. That's what your conversation should look like. Give him everything. Well, that's easy for you to say. I'm just telling you what it says, right? Give him everything. Well, I've got to pay the bills. I got to do. I get that stuff. How are you living your life, right? What are you doing with it? Are you being an example of the believer in conversation? Right? Those are just the first two, and we're out of time. There's six just in this first goal, right? So it won't take any more than 4 weeks, I promise. It won't. But I also have a new resolution this year that I will not go over and pass point. So we will stop there. So the first goal is what? The first goal of pass point as a whole. This is what the class is about, right? I'm going to give it. You might be like, how's he going to test me on this? I'm going to go find a random person and be like, hey, you know that Brady guy? You know, the really big guy looks intimidating, right? But he giggles and you'll know he's not intimidating, right? I want you to go ask him. I want you to go ask him, like, hey, what Bible hour you go to? What pass point? What's it all about, right? I'm going to send people to ask. I want you guys paying attention, right? I want you guys involved in what's going on, right? And if you're not going to get involved, I'm going to make you be involved, right? And if that means that you all go to a different class, then you're going to be involved, babe, because you ain't going nowhere, right? But that's where we're at, right? That's the first two. And we'll get through the rest to be an example of the believer, and we'll get into the next goal next week. But I'm not telling you guys these things because I want you to just know. But I want you to have reason for the hope that lies within you. Why do you come to this class? Because I think he's funny. Because I think he's dumb. Because whatever, right? Okay, well, perfect. I want you to know why you believe what you believe. Why do you do what you do? That's the most common question that a lost person wants to know about a Christian. Why do you do what you do? What's the point? Well, you want to give your money and your time? Why? Well, I'm going to give you reason, not just like because we're supposed to. I want to give you reason out of this book why we do what we do, right? Because if you don't have this, then everything else that you got to say, everything, well, because, you know, because I want to live for God and because I want to do it, if you ain't got some verses to back it up, it's just words, right? And that goes right back to why we're reading the Word. We're going to be in the Word every day. We're going to be about the Word every day. And you're going to have reason that, hey, if you want a question, I'm going to go and I'm going to show you my Bible. Why I believe what I believe. You know, and it's not just, and if you don't believe that, okay, well, then at that point, you're not believing God. Before, you just weren't believing me. Now I'm showing you what God has to say about it. If you don't want to believe it, okay, that's between you and Him. But I want you to know why we do what we do, right? I'm excited about this year, guys. I really am. So let's pray. We won't be too late. Father God, I love you, Lord. I thank you for the day. I thank you for the Passpoint class. Lord, I thank you for your Word. Lord, I do pray that you do allow us to be examples to the believer, Lord. And Lord, just give us opportunities just even this week to grow in the areas we talked about, Lord, and that we would be an example to those around us, to those lost and saved. Lord, I pray you just use us this week. Send us out as lights in a dark world. In Christ's name, amen. I think my watch is just a minute fast. We're on time. I know.